Coming up next, the 10th anniversary, one-hour-long show. So, if you want to smile, don't touch that dial. The Royal Canadian Air Force is next on the entire network of the Canadian Radio Broadcasting Commission. Goodbye for now, back in mind.
Goodbye, Mouse. Goodbye. Tomorrow on Sunday Magazine, the speech from the throne highlights peace, but is peace the real priority? The government will also table a new health care act next week. Already it's being criticized. I'm Bronwyn Draney. Join me for these and other stories tomorrow on Sunday Magazine following the noon news, 12:35 in Newfoundland.
This is CBC Stereo in Saskatchewan. 96.9 in Regina, and 105.5 in Saskatoon.
It's a special day here at CBC's Cabbage Town studio on Parliament Street in Toronto's Cabbage Town as we prepare for a special hour-long broadcast to mark the 10th anniversary of the Royal Canadian Air Force. The audience is still arriving. Notables from the world of politics, broadcasting, and show business. And as always, the loyal Air Force fans who fill the Cabbage Town studio every week and always take home their empties. And as more famous personalities arrive, we switch to the street now and Air Force Society reporter Amy de la Pampa.
Hello, everyone. I believe this next carriage now arriving must contain the Archbishop. Yes. Yet it's surrounded by robed attendants carrying candles and incense, and it's...
Oh, hello.
You see, Pierre Canada. Well, as you probably know, Amy, I've come here to salute the 10th anniversary of Air Force. As an unbroken reign, it exceeds even mine.
Oh, no, I don't think so, Pierre. No, no.
Oh, yes, and I salute everyone connected with the program. Gordon, Betty, Pierre, and of course, Fred Davis.
I think you've got the wrong show, Pierre. You're talking about Hockey Night in Canada.
No, not at all, Amy. I mean, trust me, you know, I never miss the Royal Canadian Air Force.
Oh, good.
I never listen, I never miss it.
I now see another distinguished personage arriving here. He's arriving on foot here at the Cabbage Town studio. He's now a CBC vice president and the man who originally discovered Air Force. Hello, sir.
You got any spare change? I left my wallet in my other tuxedo.
Thank you very much, sir. And now I see our next arrival is Mr. Luba Goyes, a speech therapist. Hello and welcome.
Oh, hello, Amy. Thank you very much. It's been wonderful to be here.
That's easy for you to say. There seems to be some commotion up the street, though. I'm not quite sure what it's... Yes, I think it is. Yes. Yes, Yes, it's Alan McPhee. He's stepping out of the automobile. Fans are rushing up to him with their autograph books.
Hello, Amy.
I melt when I hear that voice. You palpitating piece of pulchritude. Talk to me, Alan. Tell me I'm yours. Take me away with you to Vacuum Land.
Not now, not now, Amy. Later, perhaps.
When, Alan, when? Name the time, name the place. Perhaps on the erotic circus.
Circus, yes.
I shall be there, my big brave bull. I can see Alan's going now. He's heading for the podium, onto the stage at the Cabbage Town studio. He's turning to the CBC orchestra, and he's giving them the finger.
10 years ago, when Air Force began, in December of 1973, Canada was in an odd state.
British Columbia was in the grip of a radical premier.
In Quebec, Bourassa and Levesque were struggling for power.
Premier Lougheed in Alberta and Premier Davis in Ontario were both telling Ottawa to get lost.
In 1973, the most popular Canadian television shows were Front Page Challenge, The Beachcombers, and The Tommy Hunter Show.
And Pierre Elliott Trudeau was not expected to make it through the next election.
My, how times have changed.
...1973 was also the year that CBC Radio began to plan a program that would push back the very frontiers of the media.
Ah, yes. Eclectic Circus.
Hello, a brilliant continuing masterpiece of comedy, writing, and performing, which would make the world stand agog with admiration.
But they didn't have the budget, and instead we got...
From Cabbage Town, ladies and gentlemen, the Royal Canadian Air Force.
It's the first Canada.
Welcome to an hour-long Air Force special. Today with special guests, Anne Murray, Gordon Lightfoot, Loverboy, members of the Toronto Symphony Orchestra.
This CBC News interrupts this program with a special news bulletin. Contact with Newfoundland has been lost. I repeat, contact with Newfoundland has been lost. We will interrupt with more details as they become available, but now we return to the program already in progress.
Auburn Doug McKenzie, Alan Sarah Waxman, Clyde Gilmore, Bruno Gerussi, and Teenage Head. All right here today on the first show of the second decade of the Royal Canadian Air Force.
Yes, today we're completing 10 years of Air Force. Years that have not been without feelings of despondency, panic, and nervous prostration.
All to disappear when the check finally arrived.
But how did Air Force get on the air in the first place? A CBC executive remembers.
Oh, if only I could.
The beginning of Air Force. One of the Force recalls.
Hello. I'm John Morgan. Despite what anybody says... I remember 1973 quite well. I was running a dog motel that was about to go dugs up. You've got to keep up with the latest developments in dog motels, and I couldn't afford the ceiling mirrors, the vibrating beds, or the videotapes of Rin Tin Tin and the Dalmatian sex vixens. So I sat down to ponder my problems in a sophisticated and exclusive Cabbage Town bar. When suddenly the stripper fell off the chandelier. She landed right on my table, looked me in the eye, and said,
I'm Goy.
It's funny, she didn't look Gentile.
That was me, Luba Goy. Well, things hadn't been easy for me either. I was working as a stripper by night, dental assistant by day. You know, sometimes I'd get confused which job I was doing. You know, I didn't know whether to drill, fill, shimmy, or shake. Once I did all four during a root canal job. He's now known as Gums Gallagher. As I lay on the table, I saw two guys at the bar deep in conversation.
That was me, Don Ferguson.
Yeah, and me, Roger Abbott.
We'd gone into the bar to try and forget about our worries.
Yeah, we tried lots of ways to make money.
We'd opened a fern bar.
And we discovered ferns don't drink.
We'd opened a clothing store for big and tall men.
But somehow we just couldn't collect our money.
So we opened a store for short, small men. And beat the hell out of them if they didn't pay. Next, we went into personalized printing.
Yeah, but we just couldn't get the Queen's picture right.
Then when we saw this stripper fall off the chandelier, it gave both of us the same idea.
Yeah, but neither of us had enough money for a room.
We went over to talk anyway.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, what's a cute little number like you doing in a place like this?
Oh, I'm just relaxing a little.
He meant her.
Oh, me? I'm at the end of my tether.
Yeah, we'd noticed.
It was at this point that the door swung open and a bizarre figure rushed in.
Hey, how about this? He's got a contract with CBC.
Oh. He was a tall man with graying locks.
Why he was wearing locks, we never found out.
I got a CBC contract for a series.
To do what?
Anything I want, so I'm going to do a mind show.
Hey, that's original.
It sure is. Sure is original for radio.
Can we see your contract?
Sure, here you go.
Wow! Oh, wow, wow.
What?
Hey, listen, you know who this is?
Who?
This is Gord Lightfoot.
Hey.
Oh, no, Dave Broadfoot.
Oh, no, look, this contract says Gord Lightfoot.
Oh, and it's just a mistake. CBC never knows which foot is which.
Hey, listen, you wouldn't like a little help on this show, would you?
Sure.
Hey,
sure.
Hey, Dave.
Okay, okay, look, you four write the script, and I'll give you all bit parts.
You got it.
And so, agreement was reached on a show featuring five people that a few short weeks later would get its first incredible broadcast.
You have been listening to G. Lightfoot and cast in CBC Radio's Mime Theater of the Air.
It was not a success, but nevertheless continued for 26 weeks. And then, in our second season, we found our true vocation.
Why are they laughing?
To fly us up.
On that date, December the 9th, 1973, we discovered our vocation. Nevertheless, we stayed on radio.
Picking our cue from Parliament and the Post Office, we gave the country what it needed. Another joke. Beginning 10 years of parody, satire, whimsy, pastiche, and social comment.
All involving that same joke.
What, you ask, has been the country's reaction to Air Force over these 10 years? Through the magic of Annex Satellite and over $8 worth of technical equipment. We now link up with prominent figures from across the country. Let's get their reactions to 10 years of Air Force. We link up with former Prime Minister Joe Clark.
Oh.
As a frequent target of Air Force, do you have any comments?
Well, as former Prime Minister and former leader of the Progressive Conservative Party of Canada, I'd like to say that the Air Force is an important part of our national heritage. It's as Canadian as the Rocky Mountains, the ones in British Columbia. It's as Canadian as the British North America Act. The Air Force is always ready to defend this country at a moment's notice, and I salute these brave flyers.
So I said Air Force, not Air Force.
Oh. Well, it's an honest mistake.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a very special link-up.
Yeah, hello, I'm John Diefenbaker. I used to be leader of the Progressive Conservatives. Now I'm dead. They're not much difference. I just wanted to say, I listen to the Air Force up here religiously. On my knees. On my knees. Religiously.
Standing by in his home now in Bay Coma, we have Brian Mulrooney.
Hello. Nice to talk to you.
Mr. Mulrooney, I'm very interested in hearing your comments on Air Force.
Well, can I get back to you on that?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very special occasion. I've just been informed we have a link-up with our international facilities. We now go directly to Buckingham Palace.
Him. Hello!
Your Majesty, can you give us your impression of the Royal Canadian Air Force?
I'm sorry, I don't do impressions. But I do have a joke for you, Air Force chap. Maybe you could use it in one of your skits. Knock, knock!
Who's there?
How should I know? I don't answer doors. I'm the bloody queen.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a real treat for us all. Joining us to help celebrate our 10th birthday with the latest in her incredibly long line of super hits, please welcome Miss Anne Murray.
CBC News interrupts with an update on Newfoundland. There's still no contact with the island. Reports indicate the last ship into St. John's carried 6,000 false beards, 10,000 berets, 15 gross of Havana cigars, and a dozen septic tanks. The significance of the septic tanks is not known. CBC News will keep you informed of all developments. And now back to our scheduled program already in progress.
Miss Anne Murray. Oh, Anne, thank you for joining us in person today, and I'm sure everyone tuned in along the network enjoyed hearing you as much as we did here in the studio at the 10th anniversary gala of the Royal Canadian Air Force.
Over the past 10 years, Air Force has the occasional sketch which never made it to the air. Mind you, not many, not more than 500 or 600. Most of these sketches weren't broadcast because of some minor flaw or momentary loss of good taste. And on this special occasion, we would like to present Sketches That Never Made It.
Doctor, you've got to help me.
Now, what appears to be the problem?
Well, I don't know, but I'm always unintentionally insulting people.
I see. When did you first notice this?
It's none of your business, snothead.
Sketches That Never Made It. Season 8, Episode 3.
Yes, can I help you?
I am Lawrence T. Bardwell, and I'm here to audition for the acting job.
I'm afraid you're not right for the part.
What, not right? I'm an actor, a renowned thespian. I'm a player in the theater of life.
But it's only a commercial.
Only a commercial? Let the chorus ring out. Let the cry go forth. Lawrence T. Bardwell will make this commercial a work of art.
All right. Here's the script.
I'll stand back and watch a professional at work. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, meow, meow.
Sketches That Never Made It. Season 9, Episode 21.
Yes?
Gynecologist!
Beg your pardon?
Gynecologist, I'm here to read the meter.
Yes, there were many sketches that never made it. Some because they were vile, obscene, disgusting. Others because they were in bad taste.
And then there's special occasions like today, as Air Force goes for a full hour to celebrate 10 lost years. I'm sorry, to celebrate the last 10 years. And to make the celebration really special, would you welcome now one of the real legends in music, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Gordon Lightfoot.
CBC News interrupts programming with an update on the Newfoundland situation. Reports indicate there's been a military takeover of the island. Details are sketchy, but first reports indicate the insurgents, in berets, beards, and smoking cigars, surrounded a CBC headquarters at 11:30 this morning before any of the staff arrived.
They replaced the CBC sign with NBC, the Newfoundland Broadcasting Corporation. It is understood all the bars in St. John's were padlocked at 10 o'clock this morning, effectively imprisoning 85% of the population. Police were helpless to stop the padlocking as they couldn't get out of the bars. We now take you back to the programming in progress.
Gordon Lightfoot, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Gordon, from one foot to another. Thanks so much for taking time from your concert schedule to come and join us today. This is the Royal Canadian Air Force, and as our birthday gala continues, it's time for Meet the Characters, a behind-the-scenes glimpse at some of the personalities who populate our program. First, let's say hello to our science correspondent from the National Research Council, Professor Hieronymus Wombat.
Hello, Dr. James.
Professor, what would you say is your greatest achievement today?
Oh, let me see. That would be the night in the Winnebago with the Argo cheerleaders.
Your greatest scientific achievement.
That would be this very studio that we are standing in. You know, the Cabbage Town studio. I designed it myself. This building is an ecological masterpiece. It is totally attuned to nature. Nothing is wasted. Everything is cycled and recycled and recycled again. Absolutely everything. You want something to drink? a glass of water? Warm beer?
No, thanks, Professor. Thank you, Professor. Thank you. My next question is for Air Force's resident linguist, Mrs. Olga Tymchuk.
Hello, dobrý den.
Would you honor us with one of your wonderful Ukrainian stories?
Oh, of course. It will be my pleasure. This is the funniest story in whole Ukraine. At the drugstore, a pitaista drogist actually robbed the urinalysis. A drogist відповідає, sure. А лікувик каже до нього, okay, for me, руки, я хочу cabbage roll.
Now that's funny. I can't tell you how thrilled we are that you shared that with us, Mrs. Tymchuk. At this point, I'd like to talk to Armand, the chief cashier at the House of Commons cafeteria.
Well, what is it that you want, sir?
As chief cashier, Armand, in the House of Commons cafeteria, you must have met a lot of interesting people.
No, just politicians. And you know, they are all the same. They come in, order their food, talk about politics, and try to keep it down.
Oh.
But you know, every one of them has a favorite dish. Well, Pierre Trudeau, I don't know why, but he really likes his Caesar salad, you know. And Joe Clark, he always orders SpaghettiOs. Ed Broadbent, waffles. And Eugene Whelan, he likes to eat everything on the menu. Twice.
It's good to know our politicians are fed well.
And the public is fed up. Hey, but don't worry, monsieur, it's got to end sometime.
Did I hear someone say it's got to end?
Oh, Hector Bagley of Bagley's Funeral Home and Pizzeria.
At your service, sir, always remember, pizzero people in rain, wind, or snow, the name is Bagley's when it's all dressed to go.
Well, Mr. Bagley, what's the most popular service that you've offered for the dearly departed?
Oh, that would have to be the be buried in the sex of your choice service. Yes, now you can step out of the closet and into the casket. By shuffling off your mortal coil and slipping into something more comfortable. Your secret desire to be buried as Dolly Parton can be the crowning moment of your life as a lumberjack. And the best of all, you won't be around to see the raised eyebrows, yours or theirs. Remember, at Bagley's, we never let you down until it's time.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, joining Air Force on this 10th anniversary special, a dynamic group from Vancouver,
here is the Juno Award-winning Lover Boy.
We interrupt with a special edition of the CTV National News. With trust and tradition.
Good evening, I'm Lloyd.
And I'm... Harvey.
In the news tonight, strange goings on in Newfoundland.
The cost of a 10-cent stamp is going up to 32 cents.
And a CTV news anchorman is retiring. In Newfoundland, the situation is confused and contradictory.
Oh, I'm not retiring. It must be you, Lloyd.
No, Harvey, I'm not leaving. The military takeover appears to have been successful.
Oh, I'm not leaving.
We'll talk about it later. The whereabouts of Premier Peckford is unknown at this time.
Nobody talked to me about it.
The city's bars and saloons may be unlocked briefly on humanitarian and compassionate grounds. We'll bring you updates as they come in.
Hell, Lloyd, I don't even play golf.
Now, back to regular programming.
Lloyd, you sure it's not you?
Loverboy, for being here with the Air Force's 10th anniversary special. Ooh, don't you love those letters? And now, here's a message from the Air Force Decicentennial Committee.
Attention, university presidents, college chancellors, and others of the rector persuasion. If you're looking for a unique speaker to address this spring's graduating class, or for a minor Canadian celebrity to lay the cornerstone for the new faculty parking garage, look no further. Air Farce is available at almost a moment's notice for almost any academic function, providing sandwiches are served. And get this, it won't cost you a cent. All we ask for is an honorary degree from your college or university. Yes, this is your opportunity to make Bobby Clobber a Doctor of Divinity. Or let Luba Goy receive an honorary doctorate in physics, and she'll appear at graduation to sing Gaudiamus Igitur like a duck. This offer may not be repeated, so act now. All Air Force personnel are qualified to drive taxis, so you know your degree won't be wasted. Remember, an honorary degree is more than just nice. It gives Air Force a much-needed boost in the arts. And say, don't forget to buy your copy of the new Air Farce comedy album, Air Farce Live, available from CBC Enter.
We interrupt with an update on Newfoundland. We take you to downtown St. John's and reporter Ruby Dingle.
This is Ruby Dingle. The only people to be seen on the streets of St. John's are bearded figures wearing khaki fatigues and berets and smoking cigars. Here they come now.
Viva Peckford!
It's a confused situation here, and inside the padlocked bars and saloons, the public are taking it quietly, sitting with gritted teeth and eyes shut tight, all making a resolve never again to get locked inside a bar with an outside toilet. The only activity in the harbor comes from a Russian ship which is unloading long, ominous tubular containers. And meanwhile, Mr. Peckford is holding an emergency meeting of his cabinet.
Viva Peckford! Viva Peckford!
All right, lads. All right. Welcome to the PLO meeting.
PLO?
Peckford Liberation Organization.
Oh,
thanks. The same rules are going to apply as at the cabinet meetings, right? No smoking, no swearing. All bottles will be kept under the table. Now, Charlie, how's the septic tanks coming along?
They're loading them off the Russian ship right now, Mr. Peckford, sir. Brian's here, Mr.
Okay,
Peckford,
right, gotcha.
Mr. Peckford, sir, we're wondering what this is all about, making us go around wearing fake beards.
Shouting Viva Peckford and wearing battle fatigues.
Yeah, and getting damn septic tanks off the Russian ships.
Well, you ask, I'll tell you. Haven't you guys been listening to the news? The fastest way for an island to get a bundle of dough is to get invaded.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Invaded
by who, Mr. Peckford, sir? Oh, come on, think, lad. Who's out your right wing, close to us? A fat cat loaded with cash would go crazy if we went independent.
Bill Davis!
Now, the United States. We get them to invade us, we stand to make a fortune.
Well, how are we going to do that, Brian, sir, Mr. Peckford, sir, my son, sir?
What the hell's John Crosby doing in here?
Listen, in a state, they already know there's guys with beards running around up here, right? So next, we're going to build ourselves a new runway.
That'll be expensive, Mr. Peckford, sir. Maybe we can rent one.
We don't build a real runway. I want you boys to go up to that swamp up by Come By Chance, right? I want you to cover it with beaver board so it looks like a runway. Right? Then I want it painted black.
Wow, that's a hell of a job, Mr. Peckford, sir. My son painting a swamp black. The paint floats.
You paint the beaver board black.
Oh, that's why he's the premier. That's why he's
right,
the premier.
All right, all right, all right. Oh, and Charlie, is that bulldozer of yours available?
Oh, it will be the minute the wife gets back from shopping.
All right, now, lads, now listen, boy. Listen. I want you to take that bulldozer, right?
Right.
I want you to make big mounds around that runway. I'll come by chance, right? So they look like silos, right? Then I want you to stick them septic tanks on end so they're pointing upwards, right? But in the direction of the United States.
What the hell for, Mr. Peckford, sir, my son, sir?
So the Americans will think they're missiles for shooting.
Oh, not privy for shit. Oh.
What the hell is Ottawa going to think about all of this, Brian boy?
I don't know, but switch on the radio. We'll find out, eh?
Well, hi, sports fans. Big Jim Harrison here talking sports. And, you know, here's the guy who's been a favorite on Air Force for a long, long time. Hockey superstar, Big Bobby Clauber. Come on out, Bobby. By golly, it's sure good to have you on the show, Big Bobby.
Oh, I do, Big Jim. You?
Fine, Bobby. Thanks for asking. Now, Bobby, I understand you've just reached an important milestone in your career, too.
Well, I don't want to brag.
Well, if you'd rather not talk about it.
Well, no, it's okay. I'll brag. I just played my 1,000th game consecutively.
In a row, right. Well, Big Bobby, we're all certainly proud of your accomplishment, and I think we'd like to honor you on this really special occasion with a little surprise. So roll that timpani, boys. Big Bobby Clauber, get ready, because this is your life.
Oh, holy. Oh, gee, I can't say what I'm thinking.
Well, nothing new about that, Bobby.
I can hardly believe this.
Tell me, Bobby, do you recognize this voice?
Sure, it's you, Big Jim.
No. I mean this next voice.
Is this microphone on? It's on?
Yes, it's on.
Hello, Big Bobby. Remember me? We used to sleep together.
Oh, that could be only one person.
That's right. It's your brother, Billy.
One of two persons.
Well, let's bring out Big Bobby's little brother, Big Billy Clauber. Come on, Billy.
Hi, Big Jim.
Hi.
Hi, Big Billy. Well, Billy, I know you have something really important to say to your brother.
Yeah?
All right. Well, let's move on to our next guest right now. And, Bobby, tell me, can you recognize this voice?
Я добре пам'ятаю Бобі Кловера. Він був добрий студент і любив мої cabbage rolls.
Is that you, Mom?
No, Bobby, it's your third grade teacher.
Oh, Gracie. Oh, hey, that was the best 6 years of my life. She taught me all the 3 R's, rehiring, retraining, reading, arithmetic, and hockey.
Pity she couldn't teach you to count. Okay, well, Bobby, take a listen now. Does this voice sound familiar?
I'll tell you, Bobby, if I ever get my hands on you, I'll tear you from limb to limb. I'm going to thrash you to within an inch of your life.
Is that you, Mom?
Hey, whoever it is, Big Jim, don't let him come out, okay?
Yeah. Bobby is your very first Pee-wee hockey coach.
Oh, I guess he's still upset about the 10 goals I scored during the playoffs.
Yeah, why was he upset?
I scored them on our own goal. No one told me we changed ends after the period.
Okay, who's next, Big Jim? Like, who's next?
Okay, Big Bobby, who's this?
I remember the day Big Bobby was born. He was just like the son we never had, only we did. Like on that day.
Bobby? Billy?
No, it's not me, Big Jim. I'm already here.
Guys, it's your mother, Big Bonnie Clobber. Come on out, Mrs. Clobber. Hi, Big Bobby.
Right on, Big Jim.
Well, you must be real proud of your son, Bobby, huh?
Yes, I must be proud.
Well, what's your fondest memory of Bobby, Bonnie?
Oh, well, Big Jim, that's hard to say. Like, there's so many. Like, you know, getting up at 5:30 to start the car in the freezing cold to drive Bobby to practice that was canceled. Oh, no, maybe it was the night the coach came over.
Well, Big Bobby, it's certainly been fun looking back over your career, hasn't it?
Well, that's better than a sharp stick in the groin.
Yeah, like we should look back on Bobby's, like, life every week. It's different.
Good idea, Billy. Well, Bobby, just before we go, I certainly want to wish you the best of luck, and I hope to see you in your blue and white uniform for a long, long time to
come. Well, that all depends on a lot of things, Big Jim. Like, you know, I mean, how long the game is and where, because our home uniforms are blue and white, but, like, on the road, they're like white and blue. It's bigger on the blue side, like it's reversed. And so, like, if we're traded or something, if I had to go with another team, then red and blue uniforms could be on the ice, or maybe, you know, orange. Or, anyway, it'd be a different color, unless my new team had blue and white, too, you know. And,
the Journal interrupts with this special report on the situation in Newfoundland. Barbara? Thank you, Mary Lou. American CIA forces say mysterious objects unloaded off Russian ships are being trucked to a newly built runway in Come By Chance. In Washington, President Reagan is meeting at this very moment with Henry Kissinger.
Oh, I tell you, Mr. President, we need a preemptive strike with 250,000 men and full tactical support, just so we make it clear to the Russians that we know the meaning of the word détente. So, do I have your permission to proceed, Mr. Reagan? Mr. Reagan? I guess we can take that as a yes.
Mr. Kissinger, I think Ronnie's nodded off.
Yes, well, Mrs. Reagan, a nod is as good as a yes. I don't want to wake him up.
Oh, I know how to wake him up. This always works. Light, camera, action.
Am I on? Oh, Nancy? Well, where's my Grecian formula?
Here.
Oh, thank you. Here's looking at you. Tastes like fresh pork. Now, when I say an eye for an eye, that's, if you still have one, a tooth for a tooth.
Well, do I have your permission, Mr. President, to order an all-out attack on Newfoundland?
Is it an island?
Yes.
Yes, perfect. Go ahead. Don't damage their banana plantations.
In Newfoundland, they don't grow bananas.
How typical. No initiative. Too idle to get their economy going.
Yes, well, Mr. President, I'll order up the strike right away.
Bonnie, dear, I mean, what is it with you invading all these islands? Are you power hungry?
Yes. No.
Well, you want history to see you as a tough president?
No.
Then why are you doing this?
Well, I want to impress Jane Wyman.
The Journal will keep you updated as the situation develops. Stand by as we return you now to the program in progress.
So if I was traded back to another team with blue and white uniforms, then I wouldn't...
Thanks very much, Big Bobby Clobber.
One of the great things about being an Air Force is that it's taken us all across Canada. We've broadcast from Whitehorse and Victoria, Halifax and St. John's, and lots of places in between. And wherever we are in Canada, you'd be surprised how many people come up to us and say...
Hey, ciao, bella. Dimmi una cosa. Ma che cos'è questa Air Force? Ma vai. Dimmi.
Which means?
Hey, baby cakes, what the heck is the Air Force?
And so to answer that question, we present the Air Force Trivia Quiz. Question number one. Air Force is...
A. A division of the Canadian Armed Forces.
B. A funny group of persons on CBC.
C. A small tub of green slime resembling head cheese.
The answer is A. Air Force is a division of the armed forces noted for its bravery and poor spelling.
Next question. Air Force would never...
A. Ridicule incompetent, immoral, crooked politicians.
B. Turn down a certified check.
C. Make fun of anyone working in the civil service.
The answer is C. The Air Force would never make fun of anyone working in the civil service.
Roger Abbott is...
A. The most handsome member of Air Force.
B. The smartest member of Air Force.
C. The person who made up this quiz.
The answer is obvious.
Question. Don Ferguson is most at home...
A. In a dentist's waiting room.
B. In a leather lounge suit.
C. In bed with a tattooed chiropractor.
The answer is all of the above.
John Morgan's accent is due to...
A. The way his pants are cut.
B. Being struck in his pants with a blunt instrument.
C. His Welsh inferiority complex.
The answer is John Morgan's accent is due to the fact I've always talked this way, and quite frankly, I see no need for...
And the final question. Dave Broadfoot enjoys...
A. Going into the forest with a chainsaw.
B. Receiving an order of Canada.
C. Receiving an order of French fries.
The answer, once again, is all of the above.
That concludes our Air Force trivia quiz. How did you score?
Eh, porca miseria, bella mia, I'm sorry I ask, what is the Air Force?
Nevertheless, if you had some of the answers, you have a vivid imagination. This can be cured by a trip to Ottawa.
On the other hand, if you have none of the answers, you already live in Ottawa. And are probably a member of Parliament.
And if you think you have all the answers, you're probably Brian Mulrooney.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a special musical moment on our 10th anniversary gala. Stepping onto our stage now, it is the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. It's not easy getting all these musicians on our small stage here, but they appear to be fitting in all right. And as tribute, they will play tonight Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. The conductor is on the podium. Ladies and gentlemen, the Toronto Symphony Orchestra.
This is CBC News. The American Fifth Fleet is approaching St. John's, Newfoundland, accompanied by troop ships, mine sweepers, a mobile Coca-Cola plant, a floating McDonald's restaurant, and for some reason, the Love Boat. This week, featuring Betty Davis, Ann Baxter, and Rudy Valley. Premier Peckford and his cabinet are reported gathered on top of Signal Hill to direct the defense of their island.
Oh, it's got bubbles. Oh, this is good stuff, Brian.
That's the best, Lodge. It's the best, Charlie. Can you see the American fleet coming up yet?
Not yet, Brian, sir. Just Seamus and someone out there. I don't know who that is out there in the fishing out there in their dory.
Holy mackerel. They're going to be waiting away the fleet. What are they doing out there? Can you see the fish nets?
No, Mr. Pickford, not yet. No, they got their trousers on today.
That's not a dory anyway. It looks more like a dinghy to me. Anyway, oh, Mr. Pickford, sir. Mr. Pickford, Right, sir. Right, my son, sir. Sir, Mr. Premier. Mr. Premier, sir. Mr. Pepperidge. Mr. Pepperidge. Sir. Sir, Mr. Pepperidge, sir. Sir, Mr. Pepperidge, sir. Mr. Premier, sir. My son, my son, my son, my son. Sir, 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 we got a buddy here. Got a guy here from Ottawa. He's come to help, he says.
Well, hello?
Well, I'd be a monkey's uncle.
Well, we're related.
You've come to help us?
Well, if you tell me with some specificity what the problem is.
Lord, Thunder. Joe Clark, who sent you?
Well, I'm not allowed to say. Pierre wants this kept a secret.
You work for Pierre?
Who told you that? Oh, no, this is the new job that Mr. Mulrooney has given me. I'm a foreign affairs advisor on Newfoundland.
Right, it's the American feast is coming over the horizon.
Where?
That horizon, right over there.
Holy jeez! They brought their own orchestra. See if we can get the Irish Rovers quick.
Look at them, there's hundreds of them. There's hundreds of ships.
They're invading us, lad, they're invading us. We're going to be ripped. We're
going to be ripped. Mr. Peckford, sir, I brought with me a radio, telephone, and direct communication with the Prime Minister. It's a job I once had, I might remind you. Radio's in my other pocket. I'll always carry a toaster for protection.
All right, give me the phone, I'll talk to him. Hello, Mr. Trudeau. Mr. Peckford here.
Hello, Mr. Peckford. I understand you're being invaded by the Americans.
We sure are, Pierre.
Well, you know, I can't let this happen.
Well, you didn't do anything about it before, Pierre. You didn't even send the armed forces ship.
No, Mr. Peckford, I would have gladly sent our ship, but it's taking Lloyd Axworthy and his family around Niagara Falls. Sir, so, Brian, why don't you just tell the Americans to go home?
No way, Pierre. We got our fake missiles up and come by chance, and they're pointing right at the States. And when the Yanks arrive, we're going to be rich. We're going to be rich.
Brian, I'll make you a deal. Listen, you can have all the offshore oil.
That's too late, Pierre.
A seat in the federal cabinet.
Nope.
A date with Barbara Streisand.
Nope.
Mr. Peckford, sir, sorry to interrupt, Mr. Peckford, sir, Mr. Premier, look, sir, Mrs. Boat is right out in the middle of the American fleet, look.
Oh, holy mackerel, I have to call you back, Pierre. Who's with Seamus from the boat out there?
I don't know, it's some dumb-looking knucklehead I've never seen before.
This is Sergeant Renfrew. Of the RCMP. I'd gone on my annual St. John's Newfoundland fishing holiday. I got a free trip with a federal cabinet minister. Used to be a quiet fishing trip, but this time there were more boats out there than a convention of cab drivers in Venice. I was out trolling for snapper. That's fish. Suddenly, I saw a long fish coming toward me at 30 knots an hour. It was long, silver, ugly, and left a trail of bubbles, a kind of Lawrence Welk of the fish world. As it came towards me, I raised my harpoon, as explained in the Mountie instruction manual, but with a sharp end at the front, and put everything I had behind it. Well, not everything. I hope to get married someday. The harpoon flew through the air and hit the silver fish. The silver fish spun around and headed back the way it came. I couldn't believe it. It was heading for the love boat. I knew it was the love boat. I could see Rudy Valley and Betty Davis enjoying poop play on the foredeck. Or was it... It could have been shuffleboard. Suddenly, I was struck by a thought. When I regained consciousness, the love boat was sinking, but not before it had rammed every ship in what I now realized was a U.S. fleet, sending them all to the bottom. Then, all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, I could hear the sound that strikes fear into the hearts of Canadians everywhere.
The National.
with, you know, the one with glasses, the old Michelin lips, the one with the...
Good evening.
That's the one.
A U.S. battle fleet went to the bottom of St. John's Harbor today in a freak accident involving a Mountie and a Canadian Tire combined pool cue and back scratcher, which doubles as a harpoon. $3.95 from participating outlets. Ruby Dingle reports from St. John's.
St. John's is quiet now, except for thousands of wet, bedraggled Americans, all looking for the American Express office. The only reminder of the entire incident are the ruins of one splendid outdoor privies that were trampled flat in the rush when the bars were real. In St. John's, Ruby Dingle, CBC News, in a fur coat.
The National has learned that Ottawa has come to some agreement with Premier Peckford over the causes of the conflict. The terms were explained by Prime Minister Trudeau.
Well, we get the offshore oil, and Brian gets to keep Joe and the toaster.
As for the runway made of beaverboard had come by chance, this has been handed over to Eastern Provincial Airways. Said an EPA spokesman,
We're keeping it for emergency landings in case we switch to planes with metric fuel gauges.
And the septic tanks have been removed from Come By Chance and are currently being used as coffee urns on Via Rail. And to close this edition of the National, today a Canadian institution is celebrating its long-running dedication to silly jokes, stupid inane voices, and chicken sounds. We take you now to Parliament. I'm sorry, to Parliament Street in Toronto, Cabbage Town, where the Royal Canadian Air Force birthday gala is about to be addressed by the leader of the new apathetic party, the Honourable Member for Kicking Horse Pass.
Canadians have long been proud to live in a country whose southern border is undefended. Why is it undefended, you ask? Why? Because defending a border costs money. We as a nation have only one concern. We will not allow ourselves to be taken over, our resources plundered, our industries manipulated, unless this will create jobs. As Canadians, we know we have a vital role to play in the world. And someday, God willing, we will discover what that role is. A great Canadian who must remain nameless, Walter Gordon, has said in a nuclear conflagration, Canada will be the jam in the sandwich. It brings new meaning to the expression, let's have lunch. Why the nuclear sandwich? The global cookout? Why? Because after 50 billion years of evolution through millions of varying life forms, this planet is now controlled by two turkeys. President Reagan, the hairdo that walks like a man. And incidentally, he does not touch up his hair. It was that way when he bought it. And the other one, Yuri Andropov, the pierogi and prescription glasses. These two seriously believe that the people of the East and the people of the West are too different to share the same planet. Why? How different are the Soviets, I hear you asking. They never know when their leaders are telling them the truth. We know. Under their system, every person works for the government. Here, it's every other person. Under their system, they have just one organized political party. We don't have any. A Soviet citizen expects a lot from his government, and he's usually disappointed. Here, we expect nothing, and we get it. Even in the matter of health, they are different. They use vodka for dieting. On their diet, you drink a bottle of vodka every day. Before you know it, you forget your fat. Under their system, if you have two cows, the government will shoot one, milk the other cow, and then sell you back your own milk. Under our system, you milk both cows, you throw the milk away, and we subsidize a margarine factory. They worry about their secret police. We don't start that till next year. And the greatest difference of all, they don't believe in a supreme being. We elected one.
The Royal Canadian Air Force, starring Roger Rabbit, Dave Broadfoot, Don Ferguson, Lou Bogoy, and John Morgan. Written by Roger Rabbit, Dave Broadfoot, Don Ferguson, Gordon Holcomb, John Morgan, and Rick Olson. With sections of production by Brian Hill and Keith Vanderclay. Sound effects by Bill Robinson. Production assistant, Deborah Coffin. I'm Alan McPhee, and Air Force is produced by John Galton before a live audience at the Cabbage Town Studio in Cabbage Town. Join us next week for the start of the second decade of the Royal Canadian Air Force.